Brady's in the gun. Bolden to his left. He's got the Who man on the right wing with Dobson to the right. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell. Tompkins leaping.
He got it! Touchdown! He hit it!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
Brady's back! That's your quarterback! Pull off the building! Unicorns! Show ponies! Where's the beef?
Well, guys, after that big win against the Saints, a lot of people say Brady's back.
I'm not sure he ever went anywhere. I mean, it's not his first rodeo. He's done this, you know, a few times, what, 38 times now?
38 times.
38, something like that?
Yeah, 38 times. Not 38 his first fourth quarter comeback.
It's not his first comeback.
But it was the latest, I believe, the 5 seconds to go, which was Kenbrell Tompkins.
The latest. And the latest great win for the Patriots. You know, you have to give a lot of credit to both sides of the ball. The sideline, you know, with Bill Belichick and the game plan to take away Graham. Even the special teams with Guskowski's, what is it, 54-yarder?
Yep, career long.
Team win all the way around, 5-1. So, you know, where do you start?
Well, I'll start with the defense. And I know we're going to get to the defense injury-wise, but just in terms of this performance, if you needed another example of they are legit, they can do this against a great quarterback with great weapons, they did it. They came out with Aqib Talib on Jimmy Graham, who came in with 593 yards, leading the NFL in yards, you know, second in catches, and 0-0 across the board. Talib took him away. They both ended up leaving with injuries. But physical, gut in his mug. The rest of the defense, you needed to get the ball back for Tom Brady to have his chances at that 38. You did it a couple times. You forced punts. This defense, when healthy, is legit.
Well, on offense, I think it was a big boost having Stephen Ridley back. I think that...
You were right. We got to give you credit. We mocked you last week for thinking Stephen Ridley was the next coming of Jim Brown, but he came back. He was more productive on the ground than any other back has been really all year, and, you know, 96 yards a season high for him. He looked like the lead back I think we thought he was coming into the season after the 1,200 yards.
And I think, he's their best running back in the red zone. There's no doubt about that. So I think that was a big boost. Just having that element of run, you know, being able to knock off. He started his first run, I think, was for 16 or something like that.
Nice burst.
You know, he started right away, and that puts it into the mind of the defense. Oh, we have to watch out for this guy. There was still the drop passes. You know, we're still not looking at an offense that is running on all cylinders, but I think, you know, down the end, when you needed it most, you know, Austin Colley comes in out of nowhere, two clutch catches, Edelman with the big catch, and then the rookie, Tompkins, gets the game winner. That's got to be a boost going forward. Yeah. You know, it's got to give him some confidence about, yeah, we can do this.
Especially because of what you mentioned, you know, some of the things that weren't so great that happened in the second half. They took that performance in the first half, and then I think everything went wrong in the second half. They had only scored 6 points to that point. They really had a hard time sustaining drives. Defensively, they kind of got caught on their heels a little bit when New Orleans put 17 points on the board to take the lead, but they found a way, you know, and I know they got three chances. I know some people look at it and say, well, if you give Tom Brady three cracks, he's going to beat anybody. But they still did it, and it wasn't easy. It was a minute and change, no timeouts, 70 yards. That's not an easy drive to do. Not every NFL team is able to do that. And then you're right with Tompkins. And you know, we've been critical of him. Nothing looks easy, double catches and stuff like that. Well, if he double caught that one, maybe it goes incomplete. He couldn't afford to have that be anything other than what it was, a clean play, and it was perfect, and his feet were in bounds. Matter of fact, I think he's still in bounds. I think he had 4 feet in bounds. He, you know, wasn't even close. So give the rookie credit for making a play in a big spot.
We have to talk about the injuries, though. I mean, it was a great win, but it came with a cost.
And it's why defensively I'm cautiously optimistic, because the play on the field makes me optimistic. I feel like I can now count on this defense, but who's making up that defense? And we had somebody, you know, on our radio show earlier this week, you know, basically say, if you made a list of people who can't get hurt, they're almost all hurt now aside from Brady, whether it's on offense with Gronkowski and Amendola dealing with things. Right. And then on defensively, you're without Kelly last week. Wilfork's gone for the season already. We're talking about Talib, who is easily your MVP, you know, with a hip injury. He finished last year with a hip injury. That's the only thing that kind of marred his year last year. You know, a lot of people think he doesn't get hurt. They go to a Super Bowl. Who knows how things play out differently.
Of course, Mayo.
And Mayo, who's sort of the centerpiece of your defense in terms of making the calls, the adjustments, the calming force. All three levels now, you could be without your best player, and that's hard to overcome.
Well, the good news is we're playing the Jets.
Injuries are definitely becoming a big concern, especially on defense, and I'm going to spotlight two guys with my first 2 points this week that are going to be in the spotlight. The Aqib Talib one, to me, is the one that stands out. And I think it's going to put a lot of pressure on Devin McCourty. He's been great back at safety. I think you're going to have to see him play a little bit more corner, be a little bit more versatile than he has been. We saw that at the end of the Saints game. We know he's capable. He has a lot of experience at both positions. I think he's more comfortable at safety. But moving forward, you're going to have Logan Ryan, a rookie, having to be that next guy up. To me, it puts a lot of pressure on Devin McCourty because I think he's going to have to play some cornerback if Tlaib is out. The second injury is Jerod Mayo, because he just does so much for that defense. He's the guy that has the signals in his helmet. He's the guy that relays all the communication from the sideline to the huddle. This is a very important player. I think the guy who has to step up here is not Brandon Spikes. I think he's been solid. It's Dont'a Hightower. I think he's been very quiet. He's a guy that has a lot of versatility. He can be used on every down. He can be used as a pass rusher in pass coverage. He's a good run stuffer. He's a very physical player. But we haven't really seen him do any of those things really effectively so far this season. My final point, I want to look back a little bit at that New Orleans game and break down something that happened at the end that few people talked about during the course of the week because the Patriots won. And that was Bill Belichick's decision to go for it on 4th and 6 from deep in his own end. 24-yard line, plenty of time left, all 3 timeouts plus the 2-minute warning. I don't really like this call by Bill. I know it worked out in the end. He ended up getting a couple more possessions, but I think he put himself in a situation where New Orleans was in favorable field position and made it much easier for them to get a first down. Now, ultimately, the Patriots defense stepped up and didn't let them get that first down. But one first down at the 24-yard line as opposed from your own 30 where they got the ball the next time, to me, is much easier. I don't think this decision made a lot of sense. Fortunately, the Patriots got away with it.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
When we don't have practice, we all get together and just have fun. I think all of us like pretty close. We're kind of like brothers.
Morning Meeting is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Please drink responsibly.
This week's Images of the Week, any proof that the rookies are catching on and holding on? Well, here's Aaron Dobson. Aqib Talib was a monster in the game. Here's a picture of him breaking up the first pass to Jimmy Graham. It was great to see Stephen Ridley back in the game. Finally, here's Tom Brady high-stepping down the field.
Player Perspective is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
A little bit of a different change this week in the tunnel outside the Patriots locker room to talk to cornerback Alfonso Dennard. Alfonso, just coming off last week's win, the excitement of the game, what was that like as a defensive player? You get the ball back for Brady, and then he makes good on it.
Very exciting. I mean, that was the biggest thing the coach wanted us to do is try to get the ball as fast as we can and get it in Brady's hands. So it was very exciting.
And how did you feel? I mean, did you feel like you scored when KT scored? Was it like that much energy? Because it seemed like I saw Chandler Jones running across the field. It was like crazy.
Yeah, I felt that. I mean, I felt like I scored a touchdown because I was so happy just jumping up. Everybody just jumping up. It was a great win.
For you, it was a little bit of a roller coaster there because you couldn't quite make the play on the touchdown, which looked like you were there. And what did you see on that play with the touchdown to Stills? You know, just fingertip out of reach?
What I saw was a great pass from Drew Brees, and it was a great catch from Kenny Stills. I looked at the film, kept rewinding it, and my finger was close to making that play. I don't see how I didn't make it, but he made a very good throw, and Kenny Stills made a very good catch.
Now, we move on to this week, and unfortunately, the win last week came at a cost. You lose Jerod Mayo to the season-ending injury. Second captain you guys have lost. How does that affect this defense to lose Will Fork and now Mayo?
Well, we just hope the other guys can come in and do the same thing. That's what we depend on.
Now, off the field, it seems like you guys are very close. I would call you the loudest group in the locker room every single day. Sometimes it almost seems like you annoy some of the other players, but when you get going, Aqib gets going. What is the bond that you guys have as a cornerback group, defensive back group as a whole?
It's a great bond. I mean, on Tuesday when we don't have practice, we all get together and just have fun at the crib, just playing a video game or just talking. So I think all are like pretty close, like kind of like brothers.
And is that important? I mean, does that have a role carrying over onto the field when you're that close to people? Can that help the way you play and perform?
Yeah, you got to have that bond because you know who you can trust. You know, once you got that feeling and that bond with each other, you know that they're going to be there for you and going to battle for you.
Heading to New York for this weekend's matchup with the Jets, turnovers is the key to the football game. New York is 30th in the NFL with a minus 11 turnover ratio. Patriots tied for 6th in the league at plus 5 at this point. The Jets don't force many turnovers, only 3 all year, and they turn the ball over all too often thanks to rookie Geno Smith, who already has 10 interceptions. The only guy with more picks than him in New York is Eli Manning. Right, Eli? Coming off last week's resurgence for Tom Brady in the offense, it'll be about the passing game once again, despite some questions with injuries. You look at the Jets, they are a run-based defense. Number 2 in the NFL stopping the run, held the Patriots to 2.3 yards a carry in week 2. So even though Stephen Ridley's back and he's coming off his best game of the season, it's about the aerial attack and who Tom Brady can find in the back end of the Jets defense. With Brady looking to throw the ball, that means the onus is on the offensive line to protect him against a stout Jets front. Mohammed Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson, the rookies, can collapse the pocket from that defensive line. Jets are 8th in the NFL in sacks per pass play, 20 sacks on the season. They're going to try to get after Tom Brady. The offensive line, Logan Mankins and company, they were up to that challenge in week 2. Just 1 QB hit, 1 sack for Tom Brady. The protection needs to be just as good the second time around in New York if the Patriots are going to get the job done on offense.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
With the defense banged up and the offense banged up, I don't know what to count on anymore.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL, brought to you by Nissan.
So I understand there's a report that Darrelle Revis, after many years of trying, has finally trademarked the name Revis Island. He owns it free and clear. He can use it on T-shirts, on water bottles, whatever he wants to do, it can be branded Revis Island. Now, I talked to a lawyer, and it probably cost him about $3,000 to do that. I'm not sure he's going to get his money back. You see, when he was with the Jets, and they were a good team, and he had Revis Island, well, that's kind of putting your house in a good neighborhood. Now, he's built a million-dollar home in a $100,000 neighborhood. Not sure he's ever going to see that money back.
There's been a lot of focus this year on some big-name quarterbacks that aren't playing very good football. Ben Roethlisberger, Eli Manning, even Tom Brady statistically isn't anywhere near where we normally see him. But there's one guy who has a big rep who hasn't played very well recently, and this year is lighting it up. That's Philip Rivers in San Diego. This guy has really played well. Second in the league only to Peyton Manning. Passer rating of almost 109, 14 touchdowns, just 5 picks. Seems like he throws for 400 yards every week. Give first-year coach Mike McCoy a lot of credit here. He has Rivers looking like the guy we saw in New England in the playoffs back in 2007 and not the mistake-ridden guy that we've seen the last couple of seasons.
Scott Pioli, like the PFW boys, is now a member of the media. So he's watching the Chiefs win from afar. 6-0 record, very impressive. But it's also impressive that Pioli had a big hand in that success. 8 starters for that football team were Pioli draft picks. 5 guys on the defensive side of the football where the Chiefs lead the league in scoring defense. They're making plays, forcing turnovers. Justin Houston is turning into a star. He was a Pioli draft pick. So Pioli may have screwed up the culture in Kansas City, and maybe he's not even the greatest GM in history. But guess what? He brought some good talent to the Chiefs, and Andy Reid is taking advantage.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
Great win for the Patriots on Sunday, but at a price. Will we look back at this and say injuries derailed the Patriots in 2013?
I really think the unfortunate thing about this season is they are building momentum. They are getting better on both sides of the football. We can buy into the defense. Unfortunately, to me, from afar, it feels like the ground is just going to fall out from underneath them. There's only so many injuries you can overcome to so many key players on both sides of the ball now. And we've heard Brady talk about it. When we get healthy, we'll be harder to defend. Well, it doesn't look like you're getting healthy. looks like Edelman's getting banged up. It looks like Amendola's getting banged up. Mayo, Tlaib, Wilfork, we've been over them all. It's key players on both sides of the ball. As much as the good thing, good momentum you're building, I think we're going to look back and say, you just couldn't maintain it with the injuries.
They're all important injuries. There's no question about it. They're to key guys that you would think you can't really afford to lose. But I've seen this before with this team. And I I understand that the performance, you know, this particular team is different than the ones in the past. Belichick tells us that all the time. And he's right. This team hasn't achieved what the, you know, the predecessors did. So we'll have to find out. But I like what I saw defensively. I've liked everything I've seen all year long. Even after Tlaib went out of the game, even after Mayo went out of the game, they were still able to come up with plays. I don't see any reason why moving forward they can't have that next guy up mentality and find a way to piece it together. It's not going to be perfect. They're going to have a step back. But I think that you can get by.
It's a cumulative effect, and that's
sure
the problem.
Sure is. You're
it's
right.
No one man. The next man up can work. Next men up doesn't. How many men deep do you go before guys are on the football field who just really aren't starting caliber or every down caliber players? So it just adds up when you have more and more of these guys. Yes, okay, Vereen's on IR. You can overcome that. Wilfork's on IR. You can overcome that. Okay, Kelly missed it. Okay, well, the rookie. Well, how long do you go down that road before you say, wait a minute, we're without half of our top 20 players on the roster. They're not playing.
Right, and you're right about that. As I said, they're important injuries. I'm not diminishing any of them. But at the same time, they do have some guys that are still healthy that are pretty important. Tom Brady at the top of that list. This is the big if.
You know, is on that list. That list is getting shorter by the week.
It's what happens with the whole Rob Gronkowski situation. If he can get out there, maybe your offense can start to make some strides and help out the defense. For 6 weeks, it's been the other way around. The defense is leading the way. Maybe the offense can improve to the level. They have Dobson and Tompkins. Those guys are getting better. If they can get a little bit more comfortable with Brady, and then you can throw Gronk into the mix offensively, maybe you don't have to be quite as perfect on the other side of the ball to win.
The one thing that the Patriots have going for them is they built a nice cushion.
Exactly.
They have a good early season cushion they've built. But I'm talking about long term. I, right now, am starting to believe this could be a AFC Championship-caliber football team we're seeing that was developing through six games. The problem is, I'm not sure we're ever going to see that team, that incarnation of this team, ever again or when it matters in the postseason.
But here's the other part of that, too, is you're losing some guys on defense. You have the cushion that you talked about, and I agree with, and now you're going to face some teams that maybe aren't New Orleans or Atlanta-like offensively with the Jets, Miami coming up. You don't have to shut them down. You don't have to worry about
you
getting...
You might have to. I don't know how many points you're going
to
score.
But you don't have to worry about getting 30 points to win the game.
How do you
is
know?
My point.
With because the defense teams, banged up and the offense banged up, I don't know what to count on
because
anymore.
Because these teams aren't high-powered teams, especially the Jets, and you know it. You saw them play in here in week two. This is
so
not
the Jets
team,
can't score 30 points?
I don't think they can score 30 points, no.
Really?
No.
Didn't they just do it 2 weeks ago?
To Atlanta, not to the Patriots.
Oh.
Not to Bill Belichick.
So the Patriots with, you know,
maybe
7 of 11 backups
to.
On the maybe field
that's
are
the
better than
line
the Falcons
is. Maybe I'm
starters.
Putting too much faith in what the guys that
in
are
the backups.
Here. In Tom Brady
yeah, you're
Bill
putting
Belichick.
Too much faith in the backups. Yeah. You must love numbers 30 through 50 on the roster because you think they're going to win a Super Bowl.
I don't. Depth is a concern, no doubt about it. But I have too much respect for Belichick to think it's going to fall apart.
He doesn't play.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Nissan. Choose Nissan today for great offers on our most innovative lineup ever. Shop at ChooseNissan.com. New England Football Night is brought to you by AT&T. Rethink possible. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you in part by Yokohama, engineering the most advanced tires on the road for nearly a century. Yokohama, technology drives better tires.
Okay, it's time for your questions here in PFW, but first, the Wilson Heart Power Index, the second week of it, did it get any better than the first week?
Well, I thought it was fine in the first week. I don't know if you guys have any comments before I lean into it. The number one team, Seattle Seahawks. You okay with that?
Okay.
Number two team, Kansas City Chiefs, they haven't lost. You okay with that?
I'm starting to buy them.
The Saints actually stayed the same. They were in a tie previously.
Okay, I got a
they
problem
number
with
three.
That.
Why do you have a problem with that?
Because the Patriots, you know.
Beat them.
Yeah.
Okay, they both have one loss. The Patriots actually moved up one spot from 8 to 7 based on that victory over the Saints. Colts are 4. The Lions are 5. And the Broncos are 6, up a spot from last week. You okay with any? You want to? I'm giving you rebuttal.
I have a lot of problems.
I actually have a lot of problems.
Keep it succinct.
I know that's
a short
show. We
don't
have time.
I don't think Detroit's a top 5 team, a top 6 team. I don't think Indianapolis, you know, coming off a disappointing Monday night loss.
You were just telling me last week how good Indy was. They were so much better this year.
Who's last?
Seattle's thoroughly disappointed.
The Jaguars. They flip-flopped. The Jaguars are now in last place, and the Giants moved up to 31st. I think they made trade-off.
Actually, the Jaguars had one of the better games of the season.
Oh, God, stop questioning it. The biggest faller of the week, your Oakland Raiders, dropped 7 spots from 16 to 23. Biggest riser was the Rams with a nice, efficient victory. Went up 10 spots from 25 to 15.
All right, let's get right to the questions. The first one comes from Monty, and he says, can the Patriots sign Aqib Talib to a multi-year deal right now, or do they have to wait until the end of the year?
No, they can sign him to an extension. It wouldn't be altering the current deal at all. They'd be tacking an extension on. But I don't know about right now, given the injury issue. His stock was rising exponentially, I think, throughout the beginning of the season. And the three factors you kind of were talking about were his value on the open market, because it was a down year last year for cornerbacks. He found that out, came back on a short-year deal. The second aspect was, you know, what do the Patriots see his value at? How high are they willing to go? Are they willing to go 50? And then the third, I think, is does he want to be here? You know, is there a hometown discount? Has he found a place where he's... Remember, when he came here, he was seen as troubled. Now he's seen as just this great leader. I mean, they talk about him in that locker room like a captain. So if he's comfortable in this environment, maybe he leaves some money on the table. But right now he's injured, and I think you might have to table any discussions until he can get
healthy. If you're the Patriots and you use the injury to get a little bit of a deal?
Well, that would be the interesting part of it, because you might look at it as the team and say this is the time to strike. If you know that it's not, you know, a serious injury, you know, in terms of maybe requiring surgery, you know, maybe, listen, it's going to be something he has to deal with. But we might be able to get him cheaper, but it's still a risk because you don't know if that affects his play.
But
you know,
if
he comes back.
Then he knows that. If you know it's not a major injury, then he knows it's not a major injury.
Let's get to Ewan Canning's question. He says, considering the offensive line has struggled at times this season, giving up many sacks and pressuring Brady into bad throws, how come the Patriots let Brian Waters walk?
Well, I don't think they wanted to let him walk. I think it was clear that Waters was only going to play if he could play at home in Texas. He wanted to come back to Houston or Dallas. He sat out a whole year to prove his point. I think, personally, if the Patriots still maintained his rights, he'd still be retired. He wouldn't have come back to play. He wouldn't have taken Dan Connolly's spot at right guard like everybody wanted him to. It's kind of stinks that the player completely dictates all the terms, but I'm not sure what the Patriots could have done.
Yeah.
I don't think that he would have come back to play for anybody other than Dallas or Houston. And listen, it might not be ideal or what Patriots fans want to hear, but I think that's the reality of the situation.
All right, well, that's your questions this week. Remember, send them every week to askpfw@patriots.com.